Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill.
104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M 608. It is your Thursday. Snowy and Jules filling in for Ruined It's. The boys are away. They'll be back from Monday. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of the Weber barbecue. You'll find them at Norwood and at Holden Hill. Big night in tennis, Nick Kyrgios. What a flog, can I say it? Just a flog.
Yeah, it's just so odd, Snowy. I mean, it's not unexpected. It's not a shock, but he just won the Japan Open. He was a chance going into the top 10. He's playing a guy, I think, ranked 112 in the world, and he's just, like, he's just tanked. He's
given up.
It's like a junior tennis player who's, like, having some kind of tanty.
Yep.
I think we've got some audio, haven't we?
We have.
And the crowd, quite rightly, who have gone to see a tennis match, are looking at this guy who's number 14 in the world and saying, why aren't you respecting the game?
Correct. Have a listen.
And he argues with them.
Nick, we can't play like that, okay? It's just not professional. Nick, come on.
And then, given an interview just a couple of days ago about
Nick.
Now he's engaging with someone in the crowd.
Does a paying fan have any right to get into an altercation with a player who's behaving like this?
I can 100% agree with his annoyance and his frustration.
You know, it's so disappointing about that, Jules, is if you've got someone like Pat Rafter who spent years and years and years on his own personal brand trying to, I suppose, display the Australian way. And that's I believe, everyone involved, whether you're born here or not born here, the Australian way, which is to be a good sport, to be a great person, to be the better person. And it just seems like this flog in minutes has just completely ruined our whole image of who we really are. Because, I'm sorry, that's not a representation of me or the country that I live in.
Well, I mean, you know, and we've at the same time we've got him, we've got Bernard Tomic. You know, the lap dancing guy who also seems to throw games. There's obviously a problem with Australian tennis, Snowy. There's a problem that, you know, they're given funding by the government and we send them out onto the world stage to represent us and they act like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spoilt, entitled class of tennis people that we're creating. And there's, you know, I don't know what we can do. I mean, you know, can we deport him? Can we send him to New Zealand?
Please. I don't think they would take him.
No, exactly. I don't know. It's unheard of in sport because it is a privilege and he is earning millions of dollars. He is traveling the world. He is living the dream, yet he acts more passionately than someone who has genuine problems.
Absolutely. He actually in the press conference afterwards had a couple of other cheeky remarks too.
Physically tired, mentally tired, and I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to work on, being able to be consistent every week, and I guess that's what's holding me back. You know, I just took the easy way out tonight and obviously didn't show up at all. That's your choice. You want to buy a ticket, come watch me. You know what, I'm unpredictable. It's your choice. I don't owe you anything. Like, it's my choice. If you don't like it, I don't ask you to come watch. Just leave. If you're so good at giving advice and so good at tennis, why aren't you as good as me? Why aren't you on the tour?
That's so childish. You know what? Just don't get paid for it.
Mm.
You know, like, if you're going to talk that talk, give back your match payment.
Yep.
You know, because people should get a refund for the game. He should not get paid. That's the attitude if that's his attitude, it's just terrible, isn't it, Snowy? It's like a four-year-old.
Mm.
You know, I've got a 12-year-old daughter who shows more maturity than that.
Oh, I was just as you were saying that when you said the four-year-old, I was thinking my 11-year-old who shows more maturity than that. And it's not only disrespectful, it's disrespectful to the game.
Yeah.
You know, massively. Oyster drivers, please.
Let's change gears. Yeah. This is NT News, which is, you know, like always a great trove of headlines. Yes, of course, they stole my dog while I was on the bog, or I stuck a cracker up my clacker, which is my favourite. Maybe we'll get to the horny ghost at the end of the week, one of my favourite NTNU stories. But this is not a funny headline, but it's just a bizarre situation. A motorist was busted for speeding and driving under the influence, which is, you know, which is terrible. Mm. But he was delivering oysters to somebody. I mean, what have you ever had an oyster emergency, Snowy?
I didn't know you could do Dino's dollar delivery for oysters. That was the first.
I know. Neil Kilpatrick was his name.
No!
I wish it was. Anyway, he was in court today, and the judge said that he's completely shucked. So that's
Hey! That's two rivers. Zing!
That's terrible. I hope everyone's sitting down when we do this next story. Yeah, it's from Vietnam. Mm. A tantric lover. Mm. Would you... I don't know. You hear a lot about tantric lovers, and I don't know whether I would ever sort of put myself in that category. Mm. But it was a 59-year-old Vietnamese gentleman.
I'm more a
gentleman.
Titanic lover. You're going to go you're gonna go down.
enough of that. He attempted a daring new sexual position.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever, with my ex-wife or girlfriend, said, you know what I'd like to do tonight? Let's try a daring new sexual position. Let's try some extreme sex.
All right.
Anyway, it was extremely daring because he actually broke his penis. There was a deafening crack as he attempted this position, Snowy, and he was in blistering pain, and he was rushed to surgery where a crack team of doctors... Is there a crack? Maybe the guy was delivering oysters to him for his daring new sexual position. There was a crack team of doctors. They had to stitch his penis back to... Two questions.
Yes.
What would you do if he asked you to kiss it better?
No.
or would you sign that cast?
No, thank you.
Put your initials on it.
What sexual position was it called that he was performing, or what he was planning to do?
I don't know, but it's tantric, so you'd imagine it would be one where his manhood is at an unnatural angle.
You know what? I want to go to the phones on this. 133353.
What? Oh God, really?
Have you broken it? Part of me doesn't, I'm not saying I don't believe you. I don't believe the story. And I've heard the urban myth where supposedly Dermot Brereton and Dennis Rodman, to name a few, had broken the todge. And I don't believe that you can actually do it. So if you've done it, if you've actually broken the old fella, 133353, what was written on your cast?
Yeah. What was written on your cast? Yeah, was it in a sling?
Yeah.
Are you that well endowed that you had to put it in a sling? Oh, God. This is wrong. All right. Yeah, maybe even just sprained as well. Yeah. You don't have to break it.
133353 Adelaide. Is there any blokes in Adelaide that have broken it?
Yeah.
And how? But please be careful. Be respectful, please.
And how did you reduce the swelling?
Give us a buzz now. We'll give you a $100 voucher to join us. Or Thirsty Merc, you can take your pick.
You know what, Snowy? They've just had the radio awards, the Acras.
Yeah, we've missed out.
We would have been a shoo-in.
Best fill-in team. 133353. Have you broken the old fella?
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Jules Schiller and Snowy filling in for Ruined. It's the boys are on holidays. They're back from Mondays. Jules was just telling us about a gentleman that supposedly broke the old fella.
Yeah, it's a 59-year-old Vietnamese guy who was attempting a daring and risque.
One Big Dong was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the actual currency in Vietnam is the Vietnamese dong.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't know. He certainly would have forked over a lot of it to pay for his broken penis, which a crack team of doctors worked tirelessly to stitch his penis back together. That would have been a great episode of Grey's Anatomy, wouldn't it? Really?
Or Buffs. Let's go to Adam of Lockleys, because we want to know 133353.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Adam.
Yeah, good.
You broke the old fella?
No, it wasn't me. We did Rio work in foundation, and we're loading a heap of Rio onto a ute. Now, there's three of us. I was at one end of the ute. My mate was at the other end. But we got the young lad to get into the tray so we could roll this thing up into one big bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We put his hip up against it, and as he's rolling it up, he got it crunched in between a heap of Rio. I'm talking to Rodney down the other end, and he goes, "What's the matter?" And he goes, "Joel, you okay?" He couldn't even speak. He was in so much pain.
did, Did you exhibit that level of sympathy at the time?
So it gets better. Hey, guys, it gets better. Joel goes home and shows his mum because he's in so much pain. Poor old boy's been better than Bruce. He's taken to the docks and he's having a day off because he's in so much pain.
Your bedside manner is just fantastic. So did he break it or was it just like squashed or bruised?
Just a bit crunched.
Adam, thank you for calling.
It's like a finger bun that was just crushed.
If you see a man driving down the road right now with tears down his eyes, that is Adam. We've got you got a few more there?
A few more stories. We've got some calls, haven't we?
We have. We've got Tom of Onkaparinga. Tom, good morning, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. How'd you break it?
Oh, I was about 15, 16. And, you know, as a young fella, you get pretty excited easily, don't you?
You do.
So, yeah.
Then were the days.
Yeah. They were the days. Anyway, so I was excited and I was around some mates as well afterwards. And it wasn't them that got me aroused, but anyway, you know. But anyway, we'll mess it around, and one of them pushed me, and I landed flat on the table. Like it landed flat on the table, and it like, Ford, you don't believe the pain. The worst. I reckon I almost passed out down on the floor. I faked to them that it was just they got me in the nuts, but it was far worse.
So you went into the table. Did you end up at hospital?
Yeah, I called my mum. Luckily, mum saved me. So I've called her, not telling her, obviously. And thank God, mum came to the rescue. What a legend for her! But saved me. I didn't know how to tell her though. Like, mum, I've snapped me penis. How do you say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's in any parenting manual. So, did you just say to mum, I've done a hammy or something?
Do you have a book called Snap Penis for Dummies or what is it?
Tom.
Yeah, it'd be a pop up book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be. You know, the pop ups would be broken though.
We're going to send you off to the Joiners Arms with a $100 voucher, mate. The Joiners Inner City Good Vibes featuring Adelaide's only. Whiskey Den, whatever you do, don't trip over, okay?
Exactly.
All right, yes. Legends are, I'm not going through that again. Cheers to that, lad.
Good on you, mate. Okay. Sean of Adelaide City, how did you break it? Hello, Sean?
Yes, sorry.
Hello, mate. Yep. How did you break it, buddy?
A good mate of mine did it years ago. We used to party hard in a very active house, and all going at it pretty hard, and we heard a thump, and a scream. He's coming out screaming into the land room, and there's blood everywhere.
We shouldn't laugh.
He's hit the floor. Rolling around that hard, he landed straight down on the floor and bent it in half.
Did you get a Band-Aid or something? What did you do? Did you call an ambulance or take him to a hospital?
Yeah, we took him to hospital, but they stitched him up, and he wouldn't sit in front of the TV because, you know, like I said, it was a pretty active house, and he'd always sit out the porch, you know, because he couldn't take the chance of getting aroused.
All you need, Jules, is the ambulance to top it off with the siren that went, sore dick, sore dick, sore dick.
Wow, he couldn't watch the TV for getting aroused. So you just kept him away from any Oz aerobics classes, did you?
Like I said, it was a very active house we lived in. It was every night, you know, there was something happening.
I don't want to know what that exactly means.
I still don't quite understand how he broke it, but it was bloody funny.
Well, yeah. I don't know if we want a blow-by-blow description.
On you, Sean. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, buddy.
Wow, what an enlightening half an hour of radio.
It is. I'm not gonna get out of my chair for the next day.
Too scared. 6:31.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're gonna get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, OVO will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and OVO will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M. It is your Thursday morning. It's Jules and Snowy filling in for Ruined Its, thanks to Heatworks, home of Weber Barbecues, located at Norton Holden Hill. Well, Jules, it just got a bit warmer in here, my friend. Just a little bit warmer. I tell you, I've had the fortune of watching this young lady on television, not by choice, and I say that respectfully, not by choice because the kids and the bride make me watch it. But if you see it, it's on, it was on last night, it's on again tonight, The Bachelorette. It is going bonkers for Channel 10. If you don't mind, the spunk that is The Bachelorette joins us this morning. Georgia Love, good morning to you.
Hi, Georgia.
Good morning.
Wow. In real life, you are, I mean, you're beautiful.
Oh, but in real life, what's this, a flirt piece?
No, I'm just saying, I like to pay compliments. I'm just saying, in real life, Georgia is a million times better than what you see on the television.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. Even this with this big pimple in the middle of my forehead, that's very kind of me not to have noticed.
Hey, Georgia, you're from a media background yourself. So when you go into a show like The Bachelorette, do you have a more of an appreciation for how it's put together? I mean, has that been a help or a hindrance to you, you think, in this kind of journey?
Yeah, actually a huge hindrance, I think. I don't really have an idea of how it's all put together because, I mean, the aspect of media I've worked in news is so different to reality TV or making a TV show. But I do think it was a bit of a hindrance in the way that I kind of, from doing news, I was used to being around the cameras, but you know, when the cameras were on, it was very much, you know, game face, no emotion, straight down the barrel, delivering a news story. Mm-hmm. And it was the exact opposite, filming for a reality dating show. You know, it's got to be all emotional and forget that the cameras are there. And so I actually think it probably made it harder than if I had had no media experience before.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hard? Because I imagine the show is wrapped up now, Georgia. How hard is it keeping it a secret?
Yeah, it is. And especially because I'm a really open person.
Oh,
and
I
just kind of, I go bleh and just say everything. And you know, and I think from watching the show, I've realized quite how bad my poker face is. Because I see all my reactions.
We'll just read out names to you.
Don't do it.
See what happens.
Yeah, so that's been very tricky. But I've successfully not told anybody, not even my family. So
really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't think because I know I've got an end date.
Yep.
You know, I'm just holding out until that day and then everyone can know. But it's hard as well watching it and kind of having people, you know, have their favourites and me being like, that's the wrong one.
I've got Jake in the office sweep, so I've got my fingers crossed. So I don't care if you're happy or not. I just want to win the office sweep.
$32.
We were talking yesterday about dating and about some of the perils of Tinder. Before this show, were you on any of those dating sites and did you have some very interesting moments at all? Or
I've actually never done internet dating.
Good girl.
Never done Tinder or anything like that. I'm an old school romantic and I know that, you know, going on a television show isn't exactly old world romantic, but in a way it kind of is. Yep. You know, it's about doing this show. It was meeting the guys and learning about them from them. You know, I couldn't go on their Facebook and look up who their friends are, what their photos were like. And I hate that part of Tinder. I know so many people who've gone into successful relationships from that, but it's just not for me.
When you first meet these guys, Georgia, because it's in such a heightened environment with cameras and producers everywhere, does it take a while just to cut through the adrenaline to get to know them? Is that what, you know, you found?
Yeah, a little bit. And I think it's funny, me watching it, I thought that I did really well with it the whole time. But then watching back, I can actually see myself in the first probably two episodes be a bit more guarded. Mm-hmm. And the first date especially, I was really like blushy and nervous and then relaxed into it a bit more. Maybe a bit too much. I got a bit comfortable and got my boxing gloves on in the last couple of episodes. But anyway, it's real.
Exactly. We are joined this morning by The Bachelorette, Georgia Love, who joins us this morning. Want to come back in just a sec, as I said, I've been dragged in to watch the show. All right, and it's nothing against you.
No, that's fine.
But what I thought I'd do is I've actually got three daughters, but two gorgeous young ones under the age of 18 who they're going through those experiences in life. And I thought, who better to answer those questions rather than me, who's useless? I get the bachelorette too. So would you mind asking, answering some of those questions?
I will do my very best to help your beautiful daughters.
104.7 Triple M is ruined it for breakfast.
Players aren't dumb. Some of them are, but most of them aren't.
That might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
And the 6 till 6 no repeat workday.
Walk on the wild side. Come on. Riders on the storm.
Life goes on.
Here I go.
104.7 Triple M.
It's 104.7 Triple M. It is ruined it's for breakfast. The boys off. They're back Monday morning. Thanks to Heatworks, the home of the Weber barbecue. You got Jules and Snowy filling in for the lads. And a very beautiful bachelorette, Georgia Love, is joining us this morning. She's the lady that you would have seen last night, Jules, on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, Georgia, you went to a zoo. And
I did.
Zoos are kind of awkward places to go for dates because animals can kind of cock their legs and relieve themselves. They can be making love. I mean, is that somewhere you would usually go on a date, or were there any awkward moments?
No, there weren't too many awkward moments in terms of that. We did have meerkats on our shoulders and all sorts of things.
Cute.
So very cute, but also very good point if they decided to take a toilet break at that time. Or if the rhinos had started going at it in front of us when we were that close to them.
And hopefully the bachelor didn't say, well, if it's good enough for the horse, it's good enough for me.
Oh, there it is.
As I said earlier, we've been talking about, you know, love, relationships, dating, all the rest of it. When it comes to that sort of stuff, I'm no good. But I have been very privileged to have five beautiful children. And two of my young girls, they're asking you questions. You just go, look, I don't know. That's territory that maybe dad shouldn't be, you know, going into.
My daughter's actually giving me advice. There's no questions. I have more questions for her.
The roles have reversed. Yeah. I love that.
So I've got Eloise, who's 6. I've got Brianna, who's 13. Eloise wants to ask you a question.
Okay.
So if that's right with you being the bachelorette, yes, you may have the answers to this. So here's question number one.
What's the perfect first date?
If I was not on the bachelorette, I would think the perfect first date is going out for dinner and then a walk somewhere, whether it, you know, it sounds cliche saying long romantic walks on the beach, yeah, but you know, a walk somewhere, because I think it's important to be able to talk. Because if you can't talk and really have good chat and good conversation on the first date, then when you know it's no good.
Mm-hmm. What about paying? Because I've been out for dinner for girls. One girl I went out with, like, I'll always pay, but she like insisted on going halves. And then when we did go halves, she kind of got angry about it like two dates later. So where do you stand on the paying, Georgia? Do you think it should be halves?
I think on a first date, the guy has to pay, but the girl must do the check dance. You need to do the dance where you lean in to get the check, but they go, no, I've got it. And you go, no, don't be silly, I've got it. And then they go, no. And you go, no, okay.
You're playing them.
I like picking up the check and going, that's outrageous. I wouldn't pay it if I were you.
Or just sliding it over. Thank you.
Question number two. This is from Brianna.
How do I let a boy know that I like him without me getting embarrassed?
Oh, wow, that's hard. Yeah. The thing is with asking me these things, I had to go on a national reality TV search to find somebody. So I might not be the best authority on this. I think the best way you can do that is just by making conversation with the guy, you know, making yourself known, having a bit of banter with him and seeing how he reacts. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of flirting.
Oh. But at that age, Georgia, do boys like you, or you know, is there a bit of teasing? Is that a way? Because, you know, you're younger and you're kind of giving each other a bit of crap, but often that's a sign that you like each other.
Definitely. Mm. That's what banter is, isn't it?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Flirting. Yeah.
That's banter.
I feel a lot of hatred from girls, and I take that as a sign that I'm breaking a lot of
hatred
hearts.
Banter, it's a fine line.
Last question. This one is from Eloise.
Uh-huh. What was your worst date before going on the show?
Probably my worst date was this guy said he was going to take me out for dinner and he'd pick me up from my house on his way back from work, which he did. But then he was like, oh, I have to get changed at home first. So, you know, quickly duck by home and where all his mates were drinking in the backyard. So I was left drinking with the mates in the backyard while he got changed, which is fine. But then he came out and kept drinking with the mates, and that ended up being the inverted commas date.
Can I tell you about my worst first date?
Please.
This is a shocker, because when you work in radio for a while, and you know this, Snowy, you get free stuff. Yeah. So I was working on Triple M in Melbourne doing nights, and we were sponsored by a condom company. Ansel. And on Valentine's Day, they gave us a picnic hamper full of condoms as like a sort of a stunt. Mm-hmm. There would have been about 300 condoms in this picnic hamper. Anyway, I go home on Friday night and just dump this thing on my dining room table. And I went on this date. I'd seen this girl a few times. And for the first time, she ended up coming home to my house.
No.
And I just said, I'll make yourself comfortable in the lounge room. I'll just fix you a drink. And I never forget coming back with a vodka and soda and seeing her mouth open as she stared at 300 condoms in a picnic hamper on my dining room table.
No wonder your hair's silver.
Oh, my God. That poor girl.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and talk to you this morning. The
Thank
Bachelorette
you so much, guys.
Back on tonight. Can you give us an insight in tonight's episode at all? Or
It's very romantic.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Jules, watch.
All right. Well,
there'll
I'm
be questions.
Take notes. Thank you, George.
Georgia Love. Thank you so much.
Thank
meet
you so much.
Ruined It's for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
A top today of 20, mostly sunny, 7 degrees at the moment. Jules and Snowy filling in for Ruined It's. I don't know why I just did the weather just then, because when I think weather, Jules, there's one man in particular that I do think of, and that's it's not this bloke, that's for sure.
Are you saying it's not Sam Mack?
It's not Sam Mack, but he joins us, the Sunrise Weather presenter. Good morning, Sam.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. And obviously you've hit new highs for radio today with the phone topic of when have you broken your penis. So it's an honour to be on the same show. You know, it's interesting. You know, they were actually doing. It's very funny that you're doing it today, because ABC Radio were doing the exact same phone topic this morning.
It was actually, there's actually a whole panel on Q&A on it next Monday night.
Just... I can't wait for Tony Jones taking that as a comment.
And how are you enjoying Sunrise, Sam? Of course, you started in Adelaide on, you know, various radio networks, there, SAFM at the time. You know, we know your work at DJing at the Highlander. It's still legendary. Have you changed now you're in Sydney seen by millions of people? Have you changed personally?
I don't think I've changed, and you should know that, Jules. I mean, it feels weird you interviewing me, considering that we catch up every week in Sydney. Now you're all formal. You know, what about our relationship? What about, you know, our supposed chemistry? I don't think I've changed. I honestly, the Highlander Hotel on Northeast Road, where I used to MC on Friday nights, still holds a very special place in my heart. And I do find myself in Sydney. This, I think it's a very Adelaide thing, the whole concept of MCing in nightclubs. Obviously, Snowy, you did a lot of your best work at the Planet Show back in the day.
And Joplin's.
Yeah, that's right, Joplin's. All the classy establishments around Adelaide. But the thing is, it doesn't happen a lot in Sydney. So I find myself when I'm out, you know, in pubs or nightclubs, just actually doing impromptu MC work. So I'll be standing, you know, at a table. I go, hey, guys, who wants to hear Love Shack? And there won't be much of a response. And I go, that was only a 6 out of 10. I said, who wants to hear Love Shack? And they get the DJ to cue it in.
What were the sort of, you know, when you were DJing, Sam, what's a sure dance flyer song? Like for maybe people who are having parties over the weekend and want to get the sort of vibe going in a room, and someone who has kind of mastered the art of pumping up a Highlander dance floor, what would you recommend?
Okay, my go-to is always Boom Shake the Room. Don't think it's on the Triple M playlist at the moment. There is a great bit in Boom Shake the Room, of course, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, where they go tick, 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 boom. And I used to become a human clock for that particular moment. So picture me at the Highlander Hotel, hands in the air, like a clock, ticking along to the time of the music.
Wow.
I'm a massive success.
How has Baz Luhrmann not picked you up for one of his musicals? It's beyond me.
So what's been happening, guys? Now, can I just turn it around? Tell me about the highlights of Snowy and Jules in the morning. What's been happening on the show this week?
Well, like I said, we've done Have You Broken Your Penis? I did a story of a guy who was experimenting with a water bottle that went wrong in an emergency department. What else have we done, Snowy? We've done some other stuff that we were just saying that the Radio Awards have just happened, so we're a little bit disappointed we weren't in the nominations.
Well, the fact that we can only remember those two bits.
No, we also took a call, Sam, of a guy who was bitten on the end of his old fella by his pet chihuahua.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
which I think has been a radio high for us. But
have you done any non-penis related content?
Well, it's really hard to on Triple M. Really hard to. Hey, Sam, we got to get moving, mate. 7:22, you've got weather to go and do. We just want the goss, though. Is Dikoshi and Mel, do they still have a hot spot for one another? You know, are they still friends? You know, it's been a while now since Sam moved in.
Well, my understanding is, yes, they are still friends. But you've got to remember that I'm very rarely in the studio because we're right around Australia. I mean, I think it's mainly for security reasons. But I'm generally around the country, so I don't really get a lot of the goss. I do know of a few Friday drink scandals, mainly involving the cash cow. I don't know how often Koshy and Mel speak, but I imagine they're still mates. I mean, you know, to work that long together, you have to form some sort of a long-going friendship. So, yeah, I can't give you any exclusives on that, unfortunately. But in terms of the team, like, obviously, there's a big Adelaide connection to the Sunrise team. Koshy, of course. Edwina spent a lot of time in Adelaide. I grew up around Whyalla myself. So, yeah, we've got a good Adelaide representation on Sunrise, which is always fun.
And the cash cow from Macclesfield as well. We can't forget that.
That's right. Sam Macclesfield, actually. Yeah.
Sam Macclesfield. Like, all right,
it.
Sam.
He got it in. Sam, we'll let you go, and we'll see you again at the Highlander.
Love your work, guys. 7:23. You every morning.
Good on
you,
Sam.
Tick, tick, boom.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Glorious Thursday. It is 10 degrees. Snowy Jules filling in for Rue and Dits. The boys are back from Monday thanks to Heatworks. They are your Weber barbecue specialist at Nord and at Holden Hill. And Rue and Dits caught up with Jimmy Barnes. We're going to replay that best of bit in the next 10 minutes. Mr. Schiller.
Yes, let's talk Mr. Kyrgios, Nick Kyrgios. I went to his home once in Canberra. Yeah, met his mum, and you know, so he's like a big basketball fan. It was when he first beat, it was Nadal in Wimbledon. Yep. And this was when he was first starting out, and his family are lovely, his mum was lovely, and look where it's got him, because he's now 14th in the world. So he's one of the rising stars of tennis.
Yep.
Just a bit of background, he's got a big contract with Nike. Mm-hmm. Nike, I should say, and he had a chance at this tournament, the Shanghai Masters, to get into the top 10, which qualifies him for the ATP Finals, which no Aussie has done since 2006. So he's really on the rise. Yet he's got to this tournament. He's playing a guy called Misha Zverev from Germany, who was 110th in the world. So you would think the 14th player in the world playing the 110th player in the world should be an open and shut case.
Yeah, you think so?
Kyrgios is just given up. Mm-hmm. Like, he's decided to tank. And he doesn't even get any draft picks.
No.
I mean, this isn't the Melbourne Demons a few years ago. He's just given up. And, of course, like he normally does, when people in the crowd say, hey, what are you doing? We've paid for tickets. He starts to argue with them. We've got some audio of it.
Nick, we can't play like that, okay? It's just not professional. Nick, come
on. And then, given an interview just a couple of days ago about
Nick,
how...
Nick.
Now he's engaging with someone in the crowd.
Does a paying fan have any right to get into an altercation with a player who's behaving like this?
I can 100% agree with his annoyance and his frustration.
It's like going to see a play and some bloke, you know, like see a Shakespeare, walks on there with a beer and just goes, Romeo, we're out there, you know, and just farts and burps and walks off. Of course the crowd are going to get upset.
Yep.
And then Nick Kyrgios goes to the press conference and then he acts annoyed that journalists are asking him about it.
Physically tired, mentally tired, and I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to work on, being able to be consistent every week, and I guess that's what's holding me back, you know, and just took the easy way out tonight and obviously didn't show up at all. That's your choice. You want to buy a ticket, come watch me. You know what, I'm unpredictable. It's your choice. I don't owe you anything. Like, it's my choice. If you don't like it, I don't ask you to come watch. Just leave. If you're so good at giving advice and so good at tennis, why aren't you as good as me? Why aren't you on the tour?
He just dribbles and misses the point. He's a flog. Sorry, I just have no tolerance for the guy.
Well, let's just expand the logic of that. You don't have to come and watch me. All right, well, you have to give back your match payment for the tournament.
I like
because,
it.
You know, anyone who turns up to a job and doesn't shouldn't
perform.
Get paid for it.
Yep.
And the ATP should suspend him because they have a right, if they hold these tournaments, they have a duty of care to their the tennis-playing public to put on a tournament where people, to the best of their ability, are performing. So if they have, you know, it's like any workplace. If we turned up here and obviously we're not, you know, but if we turned up here and went to air and just had conversations with people in the staff room and didn't put a show together, you know, we wouldn't be there the next day.
Correct.
So the ATP are his employer. They accept money from TV companies to broadcast these things, and that money then filters down to Kyrgios. They need to suspend him, don't you think, Snowy?
Absolutely. Blakey only a few months ago actually took Cool for Cats and sort of gave it a bit of a Nick Kyrgios influence, Jules. Have a listen to this.
I do love a controversy, though, so you know, I thank him for that.
I sat there and I watched and saw this Aussie playing sport. They said his name was Kyrgios out on the tennis court. He seemed to spend a lot of time just yelling at the ump. He thinks he's Johnny McEnroe but looks a proper chump. He hasn't won a tournament but has a lot of cash. He didn't want to play in Davis Cup and cause of that, Nick Kyrgios has proved that he is just a little twat. He's such a twat.
He's a twat.
He's got a lot of talent and he's running really quick. It's just a pity that he seems to want to be a dick. He plays some clever shots and knows just which ones he should play. But when he gets all confident, he's got a lot to say. Cause he's just a little wanker and we wish he'd go away. And very soon he might just find that we're all done with that. And we all say, Nick Kyrgios, you prove that you're a twat. You're such a twat.
Very well done.
That's brilliant. You can't put it any better than Blakey there, could
not
you?
Not at all.
Rue and Ditz have given away serious cash with the pressure test on Triple M.
Let's see if we can now give away $500.
Well, we haven't done it this week.
$10! Yeah! 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 No way, you'll see!
And now, they're releasing the pressure while you work with $40,000 on the line.
Ah, you little ripper. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Take the pressure test.
10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win $500 cash.
Weekdays at 7, 8, 10 and 2. 104.7 Triple M.
Thursday, top of 20. Going to be an absolute cracker day, mate. 6 degrees it is at the moment. Frightfully cold. It is Snowy and Jules filling in for Rundits. It's the boys back from Monday. Thanks to Heatworks, home of the Weber Barbecue, located at Nord. And at Holden Hill, Jules Schiller.
Interesting. We're always interested when you hear a shark attack story, obviously, in Australia.
Yep.
Happened in Ballina, which is, you know, sort of up north in New South Wales, yep, where a surfer, he escaped with a single puncture wound and stitches after becoming the latest shark attack victim. He basically got bitten on the calf through the wetsuit, and it was quite a deep wound. It requires stitches.
Mm-hmm.
The shark knocked him off his board, but he drove himself to hospital in the car with his mates.
Wow.
And I'm always fascinated by people who drive themselves into hospital. I did a story with a project and I spent like a weekend with emergency paramedics on the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough. And people who are hurt or injured, there's two types. There's people who call an ambulance when they've got a slight headache.
Yep.
You know, or they've stubbed their toe.
Yep.
Or there's people who have horrific injuries and will, you know, feel bad about calling an ambulance, or they just drive themselves in. Like, they don't want to trouble anyone.
Yep.
It's just, there's just two types of people, Snowy.
None with a broken penis?
No. I'm sure we get. But I'd love to do, because of people, you know, 1-3-3-5-3, yep, when have you or someone you know driven themselves into hospital, which was just a ridiculous decision to make considering the injury?
Yep.
When I was at uni, I worked as an orderly at an emergency department of an inner city hospital. It was Fitzroy in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And you want an education in life. I went straight from private school into an inner city emergency department doing night shift. And that opened my eyes up into a whole heap.
Bet you did.
And there were plenty of guys and women who drove themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
But one I've never forgotten. There was a guy, and I don't know if I can say this. Should I say it? Well,
you started it. You've opened the can.
He was experimenting and he had a plastic water bottle.
Oh, no. Okay.
The
Kyber.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a reasonably simple procedure to extract it. And obviously people who work in emergency departments see this kind of sexual experimentation gone wrong in, you know, various, you know, degrees. But what fascinated everyone at the emergency department was that he'd driven himself in. We spent months just trying to work out how we operated the pedals, and you know, like of all the ways to drive yourself in, that just baffled us.
But with a bottle of
it's just
Coke.
You know, it just seems to be making the problem worse. Wow. Really,
jeez, Empty or full?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
No.
But look, 133353, when have you driven yourself in a hospital? Maybe it was, you know, maybe your wife's giving birth and or maybe you had an injury or maybe it was a mate who drove himself in a hospital and insisted on it.
Marnie Pam had that where they were driving, she was about to give birth and she actually gave birth in the back of the car. The police helped to deliver my cousin in the back of the car. Yeah, about 30-odd years ago.
Was she named after the car model?
Is it
Little Yaris?
We love Gemini. 133353. When have you hurt yourself and driven yourself?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Jules and Snowy filling in for Ruined Dits. The boys are back from Monday. We're talking this morning about when have you driven yourself to hospital, Jules?
Yeah, a guy in Ballina got bitten by a shark and just decided to drive himself into hospital. It's a common phenomenon. People who don't want to call an ambulance, you know, don't think that they want to impose on the emergency services. Perhaps they should have called an ambulance. And we've got Pete who's given us a yell. Hey, Pete, have you driven yourself to hospital?
How are you, Pete?
I did. Probably about 10 years ago. I was in my shed at Port Moresby with pop belly going. Got out the chair, walked over, tie up, and sort of rolled on it.
Oh.
It was nice. So I hit myself in the chair for 20 minutes and drove into Yorktown, about 15 k's, booked myself in, then booked myself out, and drove to the Burns unit and was in there for 2 weeks.
Oh,
so what did you do? You got out of the shower, I missed it, and you got burnt?
Yeah. Well, I was working on my house over there. I was on my own and got out of the shower. Nothing on, went over to the pot belly, dried myself, but slipped and fell on the pot belly. I rolled over it, so I burnt myself in two or three places on my back and spent 20 minutes in the chair and then spent a night in Yorktown. And then a nurse that came on the next afternoon said, oh, I don't think you should be here. They should have flew you out last night. So I said, I better go. So I just hopped in the car, drove 250 k's back to Adelaide and put myself in the hospital and they scrubbed all the burns off and stitched me up with 63 stainless pins and a couple of skin grafts. All good fun.
250K, that's amazing.
Pete,
well,
that is
glad
unreal.
You're okay.
Jeez, if you can top that, 133353. Steve at Banksia Park, good morning.
How you going, fellas?
What happened?
I was working on a boat at St Kilda Boat Club and it's all reclaimed land.
Yep.
And I was up a ladder and one of the legs disappeared in a hole. So I came down, broke my foot, landed on a drawbar, cracked a couple of ribs. And thought, oh, well, after I washed all the two-pack paint off my hands and my body with thinners, hopped in the car, drove to the Lower Mac.
Far out.
How painful was that drive? Or were you just in shock, do you think?
No, it didn't worry me.
You can call an ambulance, you know, like that. You don't have to drive. Well, I'd call an ambulance, Snowy, wouldn't
Straight
you?
Straight away. Cindy,
be in the back.
Oh, Blake, for you. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. When have you driven yourself to hospital?
Well, it wasn't me. It was my cousin, Ivan. 2 years ago, he wasn't feeling very well at work and a bit of indigestion, so he thought, but it wasn't getting any better. So he finished his shift and then thought, I better take myself to hospital because it's not getting any better. And walked through emergency, doors of emergency and kind of collapsed. And they said, oh, actually, you're actually having a heart attack.
Far out. Well,
drove him. Yeah.
He survived. He's fine. But wow.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, the slightest heart palpitation, wouldn't you call an ambulance, Snowy?
Paula Brunella, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
All right,
good. You're not driving
yourself
in hospital at the moment, are you, Paul?
No, I'm driving to work, unfortunately.
Okay.
Anyway. No, many years ago, I worked in the asphalt industry or bitumen industry, and we were discharging some liquid bitumen back into a storage kettle, and it overflowed because someone told us it was emptier than what we thought. And, it sprayed all down one leg and whatever, and I took two steps, yelped like an old dog, and, I just put some water on it, cool it down, went to the pub on the way home. Someone accused me of pinching bitumen, and then I just went. I went home, didn't sleep very much, and drove myself in next day, and they went, "Oh, you all right?" And I said, "No, I got a bit of bitumen." They came out, they were a bit stunned. They go, "Oh, that doesn't look good, because it nearly wrapped right around the leg, which then acts as a tourniquet as it gets colder, because it shrinks."
Oh.
But, yeah, and they said, "Oh, we'll have to put you in the theatre, scrape that off." And I said, "No, you won't. All you do is add a bit of oil and it'll come off." Oh, so I taught the surgeon something that day.
So you only drove yourself to hospital, you also diagnosed and operated on yourself. You're like a MacGyver of medical procedures.
Yes. So, no, that's all right. All good now.
Wow.
A couple of scars there and that's it.
So. If everyone was like you, then we'd have no hospital costs, would we?
We wouldn't need hospitals. We just wasted $2.8 billion on a hospital. We just needed Dr. Paul.
All you need is a pub and a couple of home remedies and you're fine, Snowy. That's it. Well, good to see you're okay.
Brenton of Seaford Meadows, good morning, mate.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you going?
All right.
Yeah, good.
What happened?
Mate, many years ago again, fishing off of Cape Jervis. Right out in the middle of the backstairs passage with a young lad, and he placed, unbeknownst to me, a very sharp filleting knife in the seat on the boat, the pedestal seat. I went up the front to have a look at the echo sounder, and as you do, just sort of lifted myself back into the seat and planted about an inch and a half of this knife into my back alongside my spine. Given that we were in the boat, there wasn't a lot of boats around at that particular time. It was getting late in the afternoon. I got on the boat radio and called to see if there's anybody around, and this guy said, "Yeah, I'm just taking my boat in." I said, "Look, can you meet us at the ramp just to make sure we get back in all right?" He said, "Yeah, no worries, mate." So pulled the knife out and a bit of a look and see how bad this is, and my finger disappeared into the hole in the back. So that was a bit frightening. And anyway, got back into the boat ramp. The guy said, "You right, mate?" I said, yeah, we're here." He jumped in his car and took off. So we had to I had to winch the boat on, and at that time I was driving one of the old square Nissan Patrols.
Yep.
Yeah.
The short wheelbase ones, which is a pretty rugged sort of car to drive, and got the boat on, drove myself back to Yankalilla to the medical centre at Yankalilla to get it sorted out.
How many stitches did you need? How long were you in hospital for?
Well, I actually didn't have to go to hospital, and then the doctor put a probe into it, which was also pretty interesting. And he said, because of the depth of this, he said, we can't stitch it, because if it heals on the outside first, there's a big risk of infection. So it basically remained as an open wound with a couple of those butterfly things over it for about 3 weeks while it healed from the inside out. But of course, after I left the medical centre, I had to drive myself all the way back to McLaren Flat.
God, what a story. Hell. It's something, you know, like, it's horrific to hear, and I'm sort of at ease, Snowy, that knowing that getting stabbed in the back is something that would never happen in the entertainment industry, only when you're fishing. Oh, look at
boom,
us.
Boom.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Heatworks, the home of Weber barbecues. Check out the new season's Weber range at Norwood and Holden Hill.
104.7 Triple M.